2 Samuel 3:34, David said of Abner, "A prince and a great man is this day fallen in Israel. Last night, a prince and a great man fell from our spiritual Israel. Brother J.W. Johnson passed away late evening. He served as an elder here from 1968 to 1997. I appreciated working with him as under him along with the other elders. He meant a great deal to me, and our prayers are with the family. I'm sure that you have noticed that our parking lots have been lined off and rearranged in a sense. We're thankful to see that, and I want to personally ask each one of you to be sure that you park between the lines and follow the arrows. One car out of place can disturb the flow of traffic. And a lot has gone into the design of this. If I counted right, we have 53 spaces in the lot over there and 147 in the lot over here, not counting the eight or nine, six or eight, whatever down the side. 200 of them. We hope to see them filled, and let's cooperate with each other. I also would like to emphasize to you the importance of our gospel meeting that begins tonight. Information is on the front of the bulletin, and sermon topics are on sheets here on the stage and perhaps some in the front foyer. Put forth an effort, if you can, to be at each service. We want you there. A lot of planning has gone in from some of our members and others to plan this meeting, and we hope that you will be present. When our elders presented to us a plan for 2003, toward the first of this year, they suggested a general theme for each quarter. The theme suggested for the quarter that is ending today, July, August, and September, was the subject of evangelism. We have touched on evangelism from time to time. We've continued to emphasize it, and yet perhaps we do not emphasize it as much as we should. You know, in a sense, evangelism is what the work of the church is about. I just mentioned a parking lot. We talk about the building, other things, but none of those is important except as it is tied to the idea of evangelism, winning souls for Christ. At the judgment day, there are some things that I don't believe that you and I will hear anybody say to us. I don't expect that there will be a person that will say to either one of us, "You saw a pit bull headed toward my little baby, and you didn't say a word." I don't expect there will be a person at the day of judgment who will look at you or me and say, "You saw me standing on the track and knew the train was coming, and you never opened your mouth." I doubt that there will be anybody that will say to you or to me, "Back during our lifetime, you passed my house one night and saw that it was a fire and knew that I was in the house asleep, and you never stopped to say a word." I doubt that there will be anybody at the day of judgment who is blind who would come up to you or me and say, "You saw me walking toward that pit, and you knew I was blind and couldn't see, and you knew I didn't know where the pit was, and you never mentioned it." But I think it may be highly likely that someone could come up to me and perhaps to you and say, "You met me day by day. You knew I was astray. Yet you never mentioned him to me." And you know, I cannot explain for myself or for you why we would shout to the top of our voice if a dog were headed to the little baby, or a train to a man, or a person was in a fiery house and didn't know it, or a blind man toward a pit and didn't know it. And yet how we probably go every day meeting someone who's not a Christian and never say a word. And I'm just as guilty as the next. You never mentioned him to me. There is a passage in Ezekiel 3 that is a bit scary. The same idea is presented over in the latter part of the chapter, I believe about chapter 33. But God said through Ezekiel, I have made thee a watchman. There are some folks out there that are wicked. And if you go tell them of their iniquity and they turn from it, you've saved a soul or saved them from that. And if you tell them about their wickedness and they don't turn from it, they'll be lost, but you've saved your own soul. And if there is a righteous man who goes astray and you warn him about the situation and he turns back, you have saved his soul. And if you warn him about his situation and he doesn't turn back, his soul will be lost, but you have saved your own soul. Have we really stopped to think that through? Is not God saying there, and the principle is throughout the New Testament as well, that when we really know and really believe that someone is lost and say nothing, that in the words of this passage, his blood will I require at thine hand. Perhaps we've not been convinced of that. Maybe we've not been convinced that where a person is lost and how a person is lost. And maybe we've not been convinced that we may very well be lost if we do not take an interest in that person that is lost. And I would pause to say here that I believe God is reasonable. I know that no one of us can save the world by himself. I don't think God expects that. That reasonable service of Romans 12:1 is very meaningful to me because I suppose that I could go to bed every night and stop and think of someone that I didn't talk to that I might have talked to. And I think we can take this so far to the extreme that it would be unbearable. But keeping in mind that reasonable aspect of it, are you and I taking the time to show interest and concern in people who are lost? That's where real evangelism is. Consider the three pronouns that are in this little statement in the song we sang, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. First, consider the word him. That's a pronoun intended to refer to Jesus Christ. You never mentioned him to me. We talk about the weather. We talk about the sports, the games that were played last night. We talk about what's going on at work, on the job. We talk about our families and what's happening to them, especially our younger ones. How much do we talk about Jesus? Are we even comfortable mentioning his name to someone else? The word him in that statement, you never mentioned him to me, represents salvation. That's where salvation is, nowhere else. Salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2:10. No man goes to the Father but through him, John 14 and verse 6. In Christ Jesus, those who were lost can be saved. But how much do we talk about Christ to other people? Are we convinced, are we really convinced that the only place for salvation is in him? I do not mean by that to weaken our teaching about the church, that's his body. Nor to change the teaching about the plan of salvation, that's his plan. But the central figure, the thread that runs so true from Genesis to Revelation, is Jesus Christ. And yet I wonder if we are as comfortable as we ought to be mentioning him to other people. That's where salvation is. Yesterday afternoon, for a while, I went down to the barbecue festival that was going on at the courthouse. And I just sat back. I enjoy going to things like that for perhaps additional reason others. I like to just watch who's there. I enjoyed speaking to several people that I knew, but the thought ran through my mind as I was standing there that perhaps 90% or 95% of the people that I saw at the courthouse in our town were people that I don't know. And I would imagine that a high percentage of those do not have the right relationship to Christ. Trying to be honest with myself and knowing what I was presenting this morning, I asked myself, to how many of these have I mentioned Christ? And I began to walk among the crowd, and I found at least one or two that I knew that had been on a seat in this building that were not coming now, and I talked to them just a minute. How many should I have talked to that I didn't? How many should you have talked to that you didn't? Those who are not in Jesus Christ. Then consider the pronoun me. You never mention him to me. Who is the me there? Well, in the song, he says, you saw me day by day, you knew I was astray. Who is astray? In Ephesians 2:12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He says those that are not in Christ, those that are without Christ, those that are afar off, those would be the ones that are described in the song as being astray. How many people do you suppose there are in Chester County who have never been scripturally baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? And if that is the way we receive remission of sins, and I believe with all my heart that's what the Bible teaches, how many are there that you and I see day by day that are astray? And we never mention Christ to them. Galatians 6:1, he says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. The person who is a part of the brethren, the first word of that verse, and now is overtaken in a fault, not just making a mistake as all of us do, but overtaken in a fault, he says that person needs to be restored. That's the word used there. And in James 5:19-20, he said, if one of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. That's one of the brethren that errs from the truth, needs to be converted, and needs to be saved from death. Would that one not fit into the person who is astray? The story goes that a preacher went into a smaller town to conduct a gospel meeting, and he asked the preacher or someone to give him a list of those that needed to be converted and those that needed to be brought closer to Christ. And the preacher handed him the phone book and the church directory. I think that is a little extreme, especially with the church directory. But how many folks do you suppose have sat on one of these benches since this building was built who will not sit on one of these benches today, but will be somewhere else doing something, although they have the ability and the opportunity to worship God. And how many people do you suppose there are this morning who will be worshiping in a way that is not based upon the Word of God that are right here in our midst? These are the me's that are talked about in that song. And then look at the pronoun you. And remember the passage that Jack read earlier, the Great Commission, and look at the pronoun ye. Same type pronoun. Go ye, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach the gospel to people. Am I not right in drawing the conclusion that that pronoun you includes every last one of us who is a Christian? But how much have you and I done? In Matthew, the 9th chapter, Jesus had compassion on people and looked out over them, and he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Had the same problem back then that we have today. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." That's you. And that you includes you and me. You never mentioned him to me. We need so many other people to reach out. I think we're just not convinced of the seriousness of it. After having looked at the three pronouns, him, Christ, where salvation is, me, the lost one, the one who's astray, and you, the one who ought to do the mentioning, I want you to think with me for a moment about that word mentioned. You never mentioned him to me. He didn't say you did not take a campaign trip around the world, although those are needed. He did not say you knew I was astray and you did not conduct a 5-week Bible study with me, although I'd like to see many more of those going on. He did not say you knew I was lost and you didn't take the time to sit down and get with me into some of these deep doctrinal points so that I'd understand them, although there's a place for that. He said you never mentioned him to me. And earlier in the song, in one of those verses, he talks about sweet words. You never mentioned him to me in sweet words, which is another way of describing, speaking the truth in love of Ephesians 4:15. You never mentioned him to me. Honestly, I would like to see us do more here in the area of home Bible studies. I'd like to see us do more in taking time, maybe sometimes a lengthy period of time, to study with people in ways that they need study. But folks, maybe where we really need to start, where really all of us need to start, is learning to mention him to those who are lost. We need family evangelism. I've heard down through the years that I can't talk to those in my family. There's something wrong if we cannot sit down and in a kind and lovable way discuss eternity. There's friendship evangelism. Do we really have true friendship if we have the right attitude on both sides, if we can't discuss Jesus? There's acquaintance evangelism. There are people in this town that you know not very well, but you know enough to at least mention him. That mentioning might take the form of inviting a person to service. reaching out and showing that you care, asking if you could go by and pick them up and take them to a service of the gospel meeting this week. Or if you don't feel comfortable studying in detail, seeing if you can arrange a study with someone else coming to teach that person what's involved in being a Christian. When Andrew heard of Jesus, all he did was go and get Peter and brought him to Jesus. And when Philip saw Nathanael needed a clearer understanding, he didn't say, let's sit down here and take several hours and study this. He said, come and see. Just come and look. Is there a one of us here who cannot say to somebody, come and see? Maybe bring someone to Jesus so that in the appropriate way he can be taught. I really believe that's where our evangelism is going to really go forth in the way that it should. May God help us to have more home Bible studies, more campaigns, more gospel meetings. I love them. Love to be involved in them. But maybe we need to come right down and understand that the bottom line of it and the success is going to depend on our understanding of that statement. You never mentioned him to me. May God help us to do something about it. And if you are one of those me's this morning who's astray, don't wait for someone to say anything. Enough has been said this morning to emphasize Jesus. You need to be baptized into him. If you need to ask for prayers to make your life like it ought to be, the answer is in him. Come to him as together we stand and sing.